time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Tis the table for Thursday, the 4th of June. Joining us, host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, the Bill Carroll Show, Fridays at noon, coast to coast. Bill Carroll. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good day, all.
Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail joining us as well. It's Laura Stone. Hey, Laura.
Hey there.
So Chief Saunders today, in a bit of a more remarkable move, gave an hour's notice and held a press conference where he talked about issues of the day, including an anticipated protest this weekend. But one thing he did address is why he feels the community may be frustrated.
There are times when we had it wrong and they called us out on it and we made those changes. So it's not just by listening, it's also by action. It's about working with collectively in order to get this right. It's something that we as an organization have always done and always continue to do right from the moment we created the Transformational Task Force. This is the only urban city that I can think of in North America that sat down half of the community and half of members of the Toronto Police Service from a blank canvas to say, what does Toronto want? What can we do to add value to make sure that we get it right?
Now, to me, this was sort of the start of, I think, a major conversation that's going to happen in this city around policing, and also probably the start of a bit of a campaign for Chief Saunders to keep his budget the way it is, because there are lots of calls for it to be reduced. Laura, what did you think of the Chief's move today, and do you think it'll be successful?
Well, I think Chief Saunders had a pretty difficult task today. I mean, he's there to obviously defend and speak for police, but he's there to also speak about his own experience and to give voice to the protests and to the way that people are feeling. And I think he addressed that during the press conference, talking about people being angry and upset and having the right to voice that on the streets in Toronto and across Canada. I did notice he was asked about the budget and skirted around that question. I don't think we're going to see advocate for cutting a police budget. But whether money can be transferred into more community programs or even upping the funding for such programs, as the premier suggested today, I think that's probably more realistic. But It's a fine tightrope that I think we're seeing the chief walk.
Now, Bill, the chief talked a little bit about how they've had a transformational task force, how they work with the PACER committee, which is something started under Bill Blair, but it's civilians and officers who work together to form how they do their work. How do you think policing is going to change? And do you think we're going to see big moves like such as funding different kinds of programs or more community policing?
I actually think this is one of those times where there will be some real transformation. I think we're in a much better situation. Having lived in Canada and the U.S., I like our police force better overall in Canada, almost any Canadian city versus American city. But we have our problems still. I mean, you really have to not know any black people to think that it's not scary to be a young black man driving your car around in just about any city in the Western world. It's, they live a different life than I live as a white guy. It's just, we know that's true if you're listening at all. So we've moved forward slowly, two steps forward, one step back. But I think there's something transformational about the streets being packed with people of every color that you can imagine out there with one message. It is powerful. And, it's like a surreal universe flipping back and forth between Fox and CNN. It's like there's no common ground between these two things. And the reality is, this is a really gray area. There are a lot of people out on the streets with a lot of different agendas. And there are some just plain jerks taking advantage of the situation. But in the end, you see protesters saying to looters, calm down. We have an important message here. And I think this time it will be heard. It just scares the hell out of me that it's going on in the middle of a pandemic. That's all. I just keep focusing on that. I just wish this timing would be different. That's all.
Let me ask you a bit of a follow-up question when it comes to having lived in Los Angeles and having lived in Canada. I'm curious because when I heard the premier today announce, I think it was like $1 million for black communities affected, I thought to myself, wow, it doesn't seem like a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. And then yesterday you have the mayor of Los Angeles cutting $100 million to $150 million from the LAPD budget to reinvest that into communities of color. Is that a drop in the bucket for a Los Angeles police budget, or is that a pretty healthy chunk to pull out?
I think that's a pretty healthy chunk of anybody's budget, for sure. That's a lot of money, even by L.A. standards. Now, remember, though, Los Angeles, you know, you're talking about 7 or 8 million people. So that's an entire province. Right. But it's still, so it should be 8 or 10 times what Toronto is investing. It's a hell of a lot more than that. So that's not nothing, for sure. Listen, I've been on the phone nonstop to friends in Los Angeles. It's a scary time there. You know, people who lived through the Rodney King riots were expecting it might become that or worse. And at least there's a feeling of calm, because I think people on the street are feeling that they're actually being heard a little bit this time. And so that's changed the game a little bit.
Let's move on to something happening right here in our city. It's a program to allow restaurants to use streets for bigger patio space, and it's got a catchy name. It's Cafe T.O.
Cafe T.O. is a quick start program that will make it easier for restaurant and bar owners to open patios, to expand patios, and to access additional space for physical distancing, and for that matter, revenue generation during the summer months, which fortunately still lie ahead.
Now, Laura, we spent some time talking with Damon, who's the owner of Hemingway's in Yorkville this afternoon. And not only is he psyched to have, you know, the public back, his regulars back, but he's really happy that his employees are getting back to work. And everybody, it seems, involved is very excited for the possibility of to go to their favorite haunt, their favorite local, their favorite watering hole. I'm assuming that you're probably like most people and are looking forward to maybe that sense of normalcy.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the idea of expanding patios onto streets, into parks, it's a great idea, especially with the weather getting nicer and everything. I think my concern, I guess, here is that people's hopes are getting up, and Ontario has not announced that bars and restaurants are ready to reopen. I mean, they've given hints that this is coming, but this really is dependent on the numbers consistently going down for at least 2 weeks. So we saw the PC caucus pushing for this idea. I'm sure that restaurant owners are excited about it. And of course, people want to get out of their houses and socialize again as much as they can, and to just have a different change of scene. But I think there's still kind of a glaring question as to when people are going to be able to do this. And that question is not answered yet. We don't know when the government is going to announce this.
Yeah, I don't know, Bill. I'm kind of curious because, you know, we've been told that, you know, 2 weeks between phase one, 2 weeks between phase two, 2 weeks for flattening, 2 weeks for that. But it seems like the government is just moving full steam ahead. You know, I think that this is going to happen, and it's going to happen fairly quickly.
I'm not entirely sure about that. Otherwise, the premier wouldn't be talking about maybe this happens in a regional way. That suggested to me Toronto might be a little behind the curve based on some other parts of the province. But, you know, he did say between 2 and 4 weeks of consistent numbers dropping. But I got to tell you, there's going to be another kind of revolution on their hands now. If your email and text or anything like mine, people are saying, look, you're telling me I can't go sit on a patio, you know, sparsely populated, being careful. I can't do that, but we can have tens of thousands of people in the streets, and all officials are saying is carry a sign, don't shout. I mean, it's not going to work. I think this is a grand experiment and a scary one that we're in the middle of right now. But I honestly believe that because it's outdoors, I don't think we're going to see a spike based on everything I'm reading and seeing. And, you know, like you guys have done all the interviews with the immunologists, or the epidemiologists, rather, all the experts. I just don't think there's going to be a big spike right now. I think that I would feel totally safe now eating on a patio, as long as I'm not sitting right on top of a lot of other people. It's absolutely time. And I think the numbers, you know, they're steady, but they're different kinds of numbers now. Number one, we're testing more and people can show up even without symptoms. So you would expect the numbers to go up. They're not. They're more flat. We're also seeing more localized outbreaks, like in the farming community, where you can isolate and control it. And that was supposed to be the point of the lockdown. So we're now able to start doing those things. There is no reason that we can't go to a patio because 100 migrant farm workers got sick and we found them and we've isolated them. There's no reason in the world. Let's get on with it already.
Bill for Prime Minister.
Preach.
Bill for Prime Minister.
I'm done. I mean, really, like, the evidence is not there anymore for this. Let's get out of the houses in a reasonable way. You know, behave. Of course, if it gets crowded, I'm putting on that mask and I'm getting the hell out of there. But why can't we go have a restaurant meal? Because, what, maybe 30 or 40 cases that are hard to track? throughout the entire province. It makes no sense anymore. And it's time to admit that. Right. It's not as bad as we thought it was going to be. Maybe it'll be worse in the fall. We'll deal with that then. But for now, we need to get our lives back and get our economy back, because people have lost their livelihoods, their jobs, their businesses. It's time that we ventured out and took a little more risk in our lives. Let's do it.
You know what? We're just going to go with the pitcher, and both of us will have the fries instead of the salad and gravy. Gravy as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, one thing we are allowed to do is actually go to your short-term rentals. You can go to your cabins, you can get a cottage, condominiums, bed and breakfast. So as of tomorrow, any of us can go and rent something on VRBO or Airbnb. My question to you, Laura, will you be renting or going to a cottage? Do you think you feel safe doing it? And do you think this sort of strategy is going to expand maybe the spread of this around the province, or we're all safe if we stay outside, as Bill says?
I was a little surprised by this, because we still can't gather in groups of five or more in a backyard where you can control, you know, how social distancing and can stay away from people. But this idea that you're now going to be able to rent an Airbnb in downtown Toronto, I question the timing of it. That said, I did hear from a lot of owners of small resorts in the Kawarthas and other places who own six, you know, self-contained cottages, say they have a cleaning regime, they're ready to go, and they were losing tons of money leading up to this on long weekends and whatnot, and they were just itching to get back. So I think it totally depends on what type of accommodation you're renting. Would I go rent in an apartment in a city? Probably wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. That's not what I'm down for right now. But if, you know, if there was a cottage where you bring your own linens and and there's cleaning and you feel like you have the space and you trust the ownership, I don't see why you wouldn't want to do that, especially with travel this summer being entirely locally focused. No one's getting on a plane and going to Europe this summer. So I think that this is going to be a focus of a lot of people.
I'm going to guess Bill's answer on this one based on his last discussion. But
I'm a freaking germaphobe. And yet I would go open the windows for a couple hours, air the place out, wipe down some of the key contact areas in the bathroom and the kitchen and stuff, and I wouldn't think about it again. I would not feel in the slightest danger. You know, we know that if someone is sick and you're sharing a room with them and you're up close and you're having long conversations with them, you're probably going to get sick. Otherwise, some minimum precautions, you'll be fine. Here's the problem, though. We'd like to go Quebec, old Quebec, where my wife is from, and spend some time there. We're not going to go, though, and I wouldn't rent an Airbnb. Not because I'm afraid of it, because there's nothing to do. Everything is closed. So what's the point? I might as well stay home. Now, if you can go to a cottage and be by the lake and go out for a little swim or whatever, absolutely. But luckily I live on a river. I don't need to do that. But I would have no problem doing it in theory. That's for sure. And let's get on with it, because it's not logical anymore. There's no reason that 100,000 people could take to the streets and I can't have 10 people in my backyard sitting a few feet apart. Come on, let's be reasonable here.
I got a couple of weeks off coming up after Ryan comes back, by the way, Bill, if you've got like an extra room.
You are more than welcome. I have an extra room. I've allowed Ryan to use, and I only charge him $500, so I could do it.
Bring your sanitizer.
That's right.
All right,
just
Mark,
be a little careful.
Hold on to that tape.
No mouth kissing, that's all.
And some elbow hugs. Bill Carroll, Laura Stone, thank you both so much. That was great. Have a great night.
See ya.
Thank you.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.